it starts with listening. And there's in the program that I offer, there's definitely there's structure, there's method to my madness and how we get from point A to point B. But like the real meat and potatoes underneath all of that is the listening, is holding that space for a woman to step into and to be held and to be seen and to feel safe and for her to just like breathe.
Welcome to the Alpha Female Podcast. I'm Robin Pino, formerly known as Baldwin, an essential oil educator, blogger, author, yoga teacher, MS thriver, and newly twin mama. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a show that will inspire you to embrace living like an alpha female. We'll guide you to create more work-life harmony for yourself, discover tips and tricks to achieve your goals and dreams, all while taking the best care of yourself. Now, on with the show. This show is brought to you by doTERRA Essential Oils. As an essential oil educator, I partnered with doTERRA in 2016 to diversify my income with them. I was drawn to the oils a few years before when I was diagnosed with MS and gifted an introductory kit with lemon, peppermint, and lavender essential oil. At the time, as I was learning to live with MS, I knew I needed to get better quality and quantity of sleep. So I started using lavender in my Epsom salt baths every night to signal to my body that it was time to go to sleep, and the rest is history. I educated myself on the potency, purity, testing, and sourcing practices and discovered the company's heart of gold. So I'd like to do the same for you. I send out samples to anyone who has not yet tried doTERRA oils and you don't yet have a shopping account with them. So find me on Instagram. My new Instagram handle is at Robin Pino, and that's P-I-N-E-A-U-L-T. Send me a DM saying I'd love to try some oils, and then let me know one health pain point you're trying to solve. Send me your shipping address from there, and then I'll pop a care package in the mail for you. You are listening to the Alpha Female Podcast, episode 197. All links and show notes can be found over at robinbaldwin.com/podcast. Today on the show, I have Angel Rockwell. Angel is an intuitive motherhood and certified health coach. She helps new moms decrease stress and anxiety to navigate motherhood with confidence and ease without having to spend hours a day on self-care. So many women struggle in the early stages of motherhood to balance the needs of their child, spouse, family, and friends. They feel overwhelmed, frustrated, isolated, exhausted, unsupported, and even guilty at the idea of taking time for themselves. Angel believes there is an unlimited power in the truth of who you are. Angel guides you to that truth so that you can create the life you desire, grounded in your womanhood and fulfilled in motherhood. Angel is a mother to a 3-year-old daughter, an 11-year-old fur baby, and one baby angel who never set foot earthside. She lives in Kelowna, BC with her husband. And you'll hear at the end of the episode, her daughter wakes up and toddles into the room. And we were actually recording on Zoom, so I got to watch her beautifully breastfeed her baby. And I could see the fur baby in the background, and she was just surrounded by her kids and in her element. And you'll love her energy. It was such a great conversation. I could have talked so much longer with her. Just so fascinated with like what an intuitive motherhood coach does. It's a new kind of title that I haven't seen before. And oh, I wish I had had her at the beginning of my journey. It was funny because she said, well, you can have me now. So I think you'll really enjoy this conversation. Let's get right into the show.
Welcome, Angel, to the show.
Thank you for having me here, Robin. I'm super excited.
I am so glad we connected. So we connected through, and by the time this airs, my listeners will have heard the episode with Rochelle. So I am so glad that you guys had a convo, because I came over to your Instagram and I was like, intuitive motherhood coach, like, what is that? And how have you made a career of it? So I'm so excited to chat with you.
Awesome.
Okay. First question I always ask is, what do you think of the definition of an alpha female, and how do you see yourself as one?
Well, when you sent me over that initial email, I was super jazzed, like jazz hand style jazzed. It's everything about it, like really super spoke to me. And just like side note on that, I have a dog and she's 11 now. She's a Boston Terrier, and I've always been like the alpha. Like never, whoever comes into my life, I'm like, I'm the alpha. So it's kind of been this like underlying thing in my life of like, embodying, but not really in detail. And then I feel like you've just really nailed it the way I feel like what an alpha is with your definition of just that confidence and that intellect, and like the total state of mind thing, you know, because it's a lot of the time we focus, or society just focuses so much on the doing, like, what are you doing to be an alpha? But it's so much of the being, like that's the juice and the jam of what I really get excited about in everything in life, is that state of mind. And being proud of it, you know, not dimming your light for other people and trying to make it look one way for somebody or the world, just like really that total complete ownership of personal responsibility in your life. And I think you just nailed it with your shining bright, like everything, just, you know, putting yourself first, because no woman can really truly serve and fulfill her purpose without taking care of self first. And you just like everything that gets me excited, you've just wrapped up in a beautiful little bow here in your definition. So I love it.
I love that you use the words doing and being, because I did a series back in 2019 on feminine and masculine energy, because I think alpha females usually get the label because we are doing so much in the world and people see the doing part. And so we can be very much in our masculine, and we can really rock that energy, but it's really hard for us to figure out what feminine energy means and how to be. And I, it's very appropriate as we, you know, you're my last guest in the working woman to mom to working mom series. I think as so many women journey into motherhood, that's when, we can actually embody and learn so much more about feminine energy. We may have like understand the concept and heard all of this, like, oh, like feminine energy is about being. And we're like, yeah, what does that really mean? But like, as you, as you become a mother, you're like thrown into being. So
absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I love that. Yeah. And I have two fur babies as well, and they will probably bark during this podcast episode at one point. So my listeners are getting used to hearing them now that I'm recording back at home.
Perfect.
Okay. So let's talk about journey into motherhood. Let's talk to me, because I'm always curious if there's a reason why someone's doing something for a living because of a learned experience themselves. So did you feel prepared to become a mom for the first time?
Absolutely. It was... The story though is interesting, because I, at the time when I got pregnant, my now husband, but he's my boyfriend at the time, we didn't want to have kids at all. It was like, we had the story when people were like, oh, when are you going to have kids? We were dating long enough and we had the answer, like sign, seal, delivered. Here's the package. Here's the answer. Get off my back kind of thing. And then we got pregnant, which was a surprise. And then, we actually lost that baby. So that was, but in that moment, like before that happened, it was like positive pregnancy test. And it was just like the world just like quieted down. Like if you could picture it in your head, all of the dust that may have been clouding just like dropped in that magical instant. And I was just there and I felt like me for the, like just so wholly, truly, wholesomely, completely me for the first time in my life. And I was like, okay, this is it. Like I found my freaking jam. I'm a mother, no doubt. And then losing that child, probably about 12 weeks, just propelled me completely differently. So I felt ready. It was just kind of like somebody pulled back the curtains and were like, ta-da, here's your life. Like, okay. Magnificent. And that was actually, I pretty much identically at the time where I had completed my coaching certification, when I got pregnant the first time. And I was kind of confused about, like, I wanted to help everybody. I was like, the world needs help and I'm here. Let me help everyone. And then I got, after we lost that first child, I got pregnant about 3 months after. And my daughter's just turned 3 2 months ago. So it's just been motherhood since then. So the whole journey of getting into what I do now as an intuitive motherhood coach is the process of what my life has been. The clarity came, the embodiment came, the journey has just been so beautiful.
Mm. So you got your certification as a health coach first. Is there even a certification for motherhood coach, or is this like created by you? I have never seen this before.
Yeah, this is, well, created by me. I'm not a certified motherhood coach. Not yet. Maybe it's something that I should create. You're getting my juices flowing now. it has been interesting actually in the research, you know, if you're starting a new business, you're doing the market research, you're doing all the stuff. And there's not a lot out there. Like even like hashtag searching or like bio searching. It's like, who's out there like helping mothers specifically? And that's not to say that mothers aren't being helped. I think there's such an uprising right now of women, like that feminine energy, what women can do, the power of women, all of this, which is so beautiful. And I'm all about all of it. And I just feel like there's still this, as you said, like all of a sudden you're just like thrown into this state of being, you're thrown into this embodiment and kind of grappling around trying to find your sense of being rooted with like a tiny human who needs you all the time. Yeah. And honestly, it was just something that honestly intuitively came to me. It was just like, okay, like what do I do? Like what am I doing here? Because I know I want to help moms in the early stages of motherhood, in the early stage in their child, or kind of through pregnancy, through toddlerhood. And like, what is this? Because in business, like I can do all the being and I can sit here and I can feel it and I can do the helping. But like, if I'm trying to put it out there, people need to understand what it is that I'm doing. So like did the thing and I sat with it and I let it be and I surrendered, leaned back, all that good stuff. And then one time it just kind of came to me. I was like, okay, intuition. This is a gem. I am an intuitive motherhood coach. And that was just it. So I'm flying with it. It seems to be really resonating with people. I think because there is that disconnect that whether, you know, women are conscious of it or not, there's that underlying connectivity of consciousness, I think in humanity in general, but it's really being illuminated in the feminine consciousness right now, that there is that disconnect of what our capacity truly is. And motherhood is just like, it's the most magical state of being. And I think there's such a shift that is already happening in between like what motherhood is, what it seemed to be, and what motherhood like is, you know, like the deep thing of what it's actually capable of doing. So
So
creation, it's something I created and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah. And technically it is you are certified, you're a certified health coach, and to take care of new mothers, like motherhood and making sure that a mother is supported is ensuring that she is supported in her healthcare journey.
Absolutely.
You know? So I love that. And I love that you specialize. You know, everyone talks about niching down, and I'm the same way. Like, I want to help everybody. I remember putting in my Instagram bio that I help ambitious women with health pain points through essential oils, because my essential oil business is primarily what I do on Instagram. And someone was like, but you really serve people with autoimmune disease. And I was like, I know, but like, I really want to help. I want to help women make sure, like, there's a part of me that's very like proactive and reactive. Like reactive, I am there for people who've been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, specifically multiple sclerosis. Like they find me and they get the advice and the guidance that they need. But like, I am trying to ensure that people never have to get that diagnosis. So like, there's still a part of me that needs to help the ambitious women take care of themselves. It's the reason for the podcast. Also, I wish I had had you almost 11 months ago. but I don't know if I would have.
I'm still here.
I don't know if I would have sought someone out like this, because there's like A type personality, like I've got this, I know I'll figure it out. Like, yeah. And then realizing like, oh, I don't got this. I need support. And there's so many different courses. Like I think I like just lived on YouTube for the entire pregnancy. like how am I going to tandem nurse twins? Like how many tandem nursing videos did I watch? Like, okay, I've got this. I'll figure this out. And like, I did a breastfeeding course. I never even thought about sleep courses. Like there was just so much information. And I spent so much time preparing for a positive birth experience. that I didn't spend time preparing for a positive postpartum fourth trimester. So I love that this is a thing. I love that we can get the word out. And yeah, I like any new moms I encounter, I'm going to be like, you're going to need to talk to Angel. So, totally. I love this.
And I really resonate with you as well as like that, but I want to help everybody kind of thing. And it's like your niche is there too. So like this is that's they said I feel like I can impact the most is that, you know, pregnancy through toddlerhood, right? Because I think early stages of motherhood, like they're still like my daughter's three. She's still forming into a human, right? She's just blossoming every day. And I love that you said this as well, that there's just so much information out there. Like, and women, like, and it's great, like our health authorities, like have all the info, all the sheets and all the books and all the resources and all the things, and they give it to you. But then for ambitious women, absolutely. You're reading all the books, you're doing all the courses, you're doing all the things. And then, well, what happens when it's done? Well, I got to the end of the book. Well, now what do I do? So I think there's just, there's just such a play with the universe on this, right? You said, I don't know if I would have, you know, looked for you if I would have felt like I needed you. It's just that continues putting that presence out there that say like, well, yes, like you deserve to be supported here. Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel supported? Not necessarily you right now, but I mean, oh, I don't
like,
have to answer
like
question,
me and my motherhood journey.
there's so many women out there. That, it just, so just to illustrate that possibility and illuminate that possibility for women, like you said, I'm so like honestly, truly honored that you invited me here to share this because you don't know what you don't know until you know it. Right.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I didn't know it was possible to have more support. I want that. Gimme. Right.
Yeah. And we do so much work around, you know, positive talk around talk therapy and saying like, you know, having a talk therapist, it doesn't mean that like, you're not capable of figuring it out on your own, but having that, I like to call them like tour guides. And it's even what I'm doing in my autoimmune thriving business. I've launched lifestyle health audits. And it's really good for someone that's, you know, already started the journey of holistically figuring out how to take care of themselves. But now they're like, oh gosh, like, do I start with my sleep health pillar or do I start with my nutrition health pillar? And I'm just like, how could, like, let me be your tour guide. Let me create an action plan for you. So I feel like you probably do that for new mothers, but let me hear it from your mouth. How do you work with moms navigating motherhood for maybe the first time or even second time or third or fourth?
Guidance absolutely is the place to start. I think, I mean, my mother just intuitively followed her gut and named me Angel. So, I mean, there's just guidance like laden all over me. I definitely feel that that's accurate. It starts with listening. And there's in the program that I offer, there's definitely there's structure, there's method to my madness and how we get from point A to point B. But like the real meat and potatoes underneath all of that is the listening, is holding that space for a woman to step into and to be held and to be seen and to feel safe. And for her to just like breathe, like, oh my God, I'm here. Like, what is here for me? What am I actually feeling? What am I actually saying to myself? What am I actually thinking? What am I holding on to that serves me? What doesn't? It's a lot of work around that. What's self-serving? What isn't self-serving? And kind of deconstructing what is real for me. Like, what's my, as a woman, what is my true essence? What do I actually desire? What do I want to create in the world? Who am I here to be? What do I want to become? And extrapolating that out of all of the things around us that are saying you should be this way or you should be that way, especially as new moms, everybody's got an opinion, right? And most people are really trying to be helpful. But all of that can kind of get clouded and just like clearing the dust and guiding women to see who they are in all of this, and then providing them with the skills and the tools that they need to navigate it on their own. You know, I'm there to hold your hand when you need a little, like, come on, let's hold hand, let's hug, let's get there together. And then also like to be the cheerleader, right? And then also the, all right, kick in the butt. Like, this is you now. You've hit your next level of your evolution. It's time for you to step forward and step into light and do this on your own. I know it's been cheesy my whole life, but it makes people laugh and I love it. And I feel like it's more appropriate now than ever is, every woman, every mother just needs like a little angel on their shoulder. Right? Mm. And that's me.
Yeah.
So I give one to everybody. It's like, here you go. Just set her up there. She will always steer you in the right direction and never tell you what to do. But that guidance and that support and that accountability to be the woman and the mother that you say that you know you want to be.
I love that. So is it easier to work with women in pregnancy when they still have time to start thinking about things? Or do moms find you when they're in the thick of it and they're balancing baby, or as in my case, babies on on hips? Yeah. When do you love starting with a client?
The easiest answer to that would be when they're ready. I think the ideal, the dream will be that in that pregnancy space, to really get in there on the foundation, because there's such a purity in that, because you have the magic within you. Like, you know that you're like literally walking around with a magic creation inside of you every day. Mm-hmm. So there's that just physical connection, which I think does make it a little more accessible for women to just really get into, like, oh my God, I'm magic. It's happening inside of me. And also just to build that foundation, because when you have when you're building the awareness and you have this magnificent illustration in front of you of what your capability is and what your magic is and what you desire and who you want to be, the kind of mother you want to be, the kind of experience you want to have, like you said, I was prepared for the birthing experience, but then on the other side, like, I had nothing for that. Who you want to be beyond all of the things that you experience right now. So in pregnancy is just such a phenomenal time to do that. However, it's not the only time to do it. You know, sometimes it's just like I don't know if I'm going to say this properly, but you know, it's easier to just like do it right the first time than like have to like break down things and do it again. Like, yeah, reteach yourself. There's a quote about
especially
that,
especially if a new mom is like in just like pure fight and flight mode, and they're in survival mode and they can't even comprehend taking a moment to just be, because they're like, I'm just doing, I'm feeding, I'm changing, I'm sleeping. I'm like, it's,
you, yeah, my sleeping.
Not at the beginning, but, so definitely like before you get into the nervous system overload.
Totally. It's instinctual. Absolutely. Yeah. That, so if we can, if women can tune into, when women tune into their intuition before mm-hmm. that happens, mm-hmm. then that just smooths out and becomes so much more mm-hmm. navigatable. No, it's like when we get into those, because it is like, and you're like, oh my God, I'm doing all these things. Like, how do I know how to do this? Yeah. Well, the magic is in you, but just because of connecting those pieces is always helpful at any stage of the game. And it's always possible to connect at any stage of the game too, of course.
Yeah. I really want to get into how you take care of yourself, but I have so many more questions about like how you work with mothers and process. And if we go back to our topic, like the transition from working woman to mom to working mom, what do you see? I don't know if there's any consistencies, but what do you see in terms of the evolution during that transition? And like, pieces of advice or loving words would you give women, as they move one to motherhood and then, adding back in, a work layer?
Yeah, the process has been really, really, I'll say organic, very natural for me as well. To just fall, like trust fall into motherhood. And then also just like, oh, here I am sliding back into, you know, building my business more consciously here as well. And I think the piece for me that has been the most helpful and what I really like to inspire women to embrace themselves is that self-love and that self-trust. In wherever they are, it's that you don't even need to think about what 2 seconds from now is all about. It's your presence. Where are you now? And how do you feel now? Because now is the only place that we can make a difference for ourselves or for anybody, any kind of impact that we're looking to make. And, you know, I can think, okay, well, now the baby's here. What am I going to do when the baby's one? Like, well, the baby's like 3 days old, you know, be here in this 3 days old. And it's a skill that does require tending to, and it's something that we just have to kind of rein in. It's like, oh, well, the mind is just going, okay, well, shut up, shove it down, and then like just keep the doing. Like we have to pay attention to what we're saying. The things that we say the most are the things that we need to hear. That's why we keep repeating them. And often mm-hmm. those are the easiest things to forget. It's like, oh, I need to bring this t-shirt back to my friend that I borrowed and I set it right beside the door. And then I forget it one day. And then I keep passing it for 3 weeks and it's still sitting there, but I don't even recognize that it's there anymore, right? Just the things that are constantly in our lives, we tend to just like, because sometimes those are the yucky things to go through. So I think trusting that presence is the thing that you need. You don't have mm-hmm. to do, there's nothing else that is required other than for you to be present here mm-hmm. in this moment right now. And that will get you where you need to go.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. And as you were talking, all I could think about was, yeah, the things I was telling myself. And even now, like I say, like to the babes, oh, I can't wait for you guys to talk. But like the little babble is so adorable. Like so it's like, okay, just stay in the present of like enjoying the babble, because eventually they'll be talking and you'll be like, I wish you would stop talking. So it is that presence piece and really staying so rooted into it. I think my biggest struggle was staying, I was present and I was in it, but I was contending with the loss of identity. And Rochelle and I have talked about this. We didn't get into it like too much in depth because I don't think I've even wrapped my head around it. But I wasn't ready for the loss of identity of who I was. And knowing that in birth, you birth a new person yourself. And I had heard it, but again, until I went through that process, it didn't resonate with me until I'm like, oh, I miss the old Ramen. I miss all of the things that I used to do. And like, I know that some of those will come back in the future and I'll consciously bring them back when I'm ready. But the Groundhog Day, being was really, really hard for me, of having to do and like the exact same thing every single day. My life was so filled with variety that the routine and the schedule, and I don't know if it's amplified with twins mm-hmm. of, you know, you have to keep them on the same feeding schedule and sleeping schedule. And like, you're just schedule all day long. And that it was all night long too. And the sleep deprivation on top of it, like I just felt like I'd lost myself and I hadn't even discovered who I was as a new mom. And, I've had this conversation on several of the episodes, that social media is a blessing and a curse because we see different people's experiences. And I was watching, a couple of twin moms, and it all seemed very, like, we all seemed very frazzled. And then I was watching experiences of singleton moms. And I was seeing pure bliss, and I was seeing, calmness and time. And so I think that not only was I losing my identity, but I was also losing the identity of what I thought motherhood was going to be like as a having just one baby. And I hadn't even like wrapped my head around or seen any positive scenarios of what a twin mom motherhood was going to look like. So I think I had two different kind of things slap me upside the head that I just wasn't ready for. And that was definitely really difficult. So that like the social media just amplified it because I was seeing very different experiences.
Mm-hmm. May I just say that, say two things slapped you upside the head that you weren't ready for. Yeah. They slapped you upside the head because you were ready for them. They wouldn't have slapped you if you weren't.
Yeah, it's very true.
That's what happens when we see things. I think that loss of identity is, and I see that and I hear that so much. And I think that really lies, like, this speaks so beautifully to my magic. Like, I own this because this is like, this is my glitter. This is my sparkle. This is my thing of that the divine universe just gifted me this here's motherhood. And it was just like, I found myself.
Hmm.
And it's so many women, it's the opposite. They lose themselves, right? And it's the like allowing yourself to miss certain things of yourself, like grieve that process. But why do you miss it? You know, like getting into like, do you actually miss it, or do you just miss it because it's not here anymore? Like allowing this to like, this is what's here for you. That's no longer a part. So there is a grieving process to that as well, but also it's just shifting that perception of you even just saying that like variety was something like you appreciate the variety in your life and now you don't have it. Like all the good things in life don't disappear, like balance, peace, calm, abundance, prosperity, all of these things, they don't go anywhere. They're not here one day, gone the next. They're all here. It's just whether we're choosing to look at them, whether we're choosing to access them, or whether we're choosing to allow them into our lives. A lot of the time we choose not to receive them for kind of the wrong reasons, right? So I love all of that. You're totally just speaking to so many women that feel exactly the experience that you were just feeling. And there is so much more available.
At the beginning of this year, I did a series on infertility, fertility support, because we were able to conceive through IUI. And so there was another kind of layer on top of all of this, that we had struggled to get pregnant for quite a while. And I had yearned for it for so many months over and over and over again. And then when it was finally time for me to become a mother, I felt the guilt. I felt guilty for feeling that I was struggling because I had wanted this for so long. And so why would I then struggle with being a mother? Like, I should have been just so consumed with bliss and joy. And it's there. I remember people asking me, like, how are you feeling? I was like, 50-50 joy and exhaustion. I can feel both of these things at the same time. And I would sit with all of the feelings. So I would let myself feel joy, and then I would let myself feel where I was struggling, because I needed to honor that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it was just a lot. I think that's the easiest way to like wrap it up. It was just so many feelings, so many thoughts, so many things that I wasn't prepared for. Like it was the most overwhelming, and still is the most overwhelming time of my life, I think, is the best way.
Yeah, and overwhelm can be a beautiful thing. You know, say over like this. That's one of the things that I've really started to come into more lately. It's like, I used to be like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. And I'm like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed. Like, oh my God, this is all here. This is like mind blowing. Right.
Yeah.
I think it's, again, it's just how we choose to perceive things, right? Are the choices that I'm making propelling me forward? Are they serving me? Are they contributing to my evolution? And I got one thing that you said, is like, I asked for this. I should be feeling this way. So many mothers out there, like, should all over themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like we shouldn't, like, you shouldn't be doing anything. Like you are here.
Yeah.
What's up? You know, shooting's never helpful.
Yeah.
But it's a good word to shift as your toddlers start talking, because they're going to start like picking up things.
Using
like you
can
say should, because that's not a dirty word. I mean, it is a dirty word, but like not when it comes out of a kid's mouth.
And I know the concept of shoulding. I've read, you know, books on the topic, like, I've heard it, but it doesn't mean that it's not a lesson that I'm still going through.
Absolutely. So. We are in a constant state of evolution, and isn't that such a beautiful thing?
It is. It really is. Okay, so let's get into how you take care of yourself. So as you are momming and fur momming and now building a business, how do you create work-life harmony for yourself?
Breath is the biggest thing for me to continue to be harmonious, is breathing. And I have come into that differently as well. I think breath for me has been, okay, well, like when I can sneak away and like lock the door and hide in the bathroom, like, oh, breathe then. I don't hide in the bathroom anymore. Breath, I'm breathing all the time. You know, breathing for survival, or am I breathing for like benefit? So breath for me is the number one thing, because then no matter what happens in the day, I know that I'm setting myself up for success, because I can breathe. I will always breathe of the day. So breath for me is the most amazing tool. And I love seeing my daughter pick up these habits now as well, where she'll like if she gets frustrated, she'll like put her hand on her heart and like, like she's three. It's phenomenal. So I started seeing that not only is this a way for me to take care of myself, but I am in this process as well, doing all the things that I want to do of being that amazing role model for her, saying that this is process. This is where you are. You can say when you're having a tough time, you can say, I need a moment. You can do all of these things. There's so much teachability in me taking that time for me as well. So nourish myself, breath, absolutely number one. And then outside of that, I love baths. I take baths all the time. It's such a way for me to just return to the beginning, I guess. My daughter loves baths too. And again, I do most of my, this works again, works for me. A lot of my nourishment with my daughter, just the connection that we have, the relationship we have, that totally works. So when she's like, I want to take a bath, I'm like, let's do it. Candles are on, essential oils are in, like she'll play in there for an hour and I just kind of do my thing. But outside of things that I actually do for me, because not everybody wants to feels their capacity to nourish with their child, so kind of need that outside thing. I meditate in the mornings. So I get up and kind of start my day that way. I learned that the hard way, that meditating at night was, I just fell asleep. Did I do it? I'm not sure. Was that magic? I don't know. So it's setting myself up in the morning to do that, really just, and then again, I've done it. I've done my thing. I've taken care of me. And there's so many practices within that as well, that I could go on and on about of what happens like in meditation and how beautiful that space is. Definitely breath, meditation, presence has just been the savior of me and everything. Like how can I take care of myself now? Cause it's the latering, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to have like the perfect nourishment plan and this is going to set me up. It looks amazing on paper. I'm going to have this amazing work life harmony and everything's going to be beautiful. And then but you're a mom and stuff happens and your children need you and you're there for them. And they came, well, that I can't do that today. Or that's things just fly off the schedule. And then by the end of the day, you haven't done anything. So the integration component of that is so key. And how can I nourish myself here? Like my daughter's still breastfeeding. So often it's the like, okay, we're like, we're making dinner and she's breastfeeding and I'm breathing, you know, I'm like, how is this realistic? Right. She's a tiny little Magoo. So it's like, she can actually hold her and still do that. The biggest thing absolutely for bringing that harmony into my life, is the breath and the honesty, you know, just being really honest with what I want with myself first and foremost, because if I'm blaming other people, like my husband's not supporting me, I want to do this, I have this client call and, you know, my husband's not taking care of the kid, or, you know, he just wants to watch TV with her and like da 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 da, all of a sudden I start exploding outwards. All right. Mm. Okay. Like, what do I want here? What do I want? And what do I need? Mm. Like, well, I need to focus on me and like, well, trust that everything else is going to be okay. That every choice that you've made up until this point has gotten you here and you're survived. You're still here. You're still breathing. Mm. Just be honest with what like really matters. And that can be a tough thing to do. You know, it's like, do you need to go away every day and go do your yoga class? Is that what you need? Or is that just what you're trying to tell yourself you need? So you can't actually give yourself what you need. So you're living in a cycle of not getting what you need and perpetuates this, like this BS, right? Mm-hmm. So that honesty is just, and I find for me, breath is that connection to honesty. Just like, okay, like what am I actually feeling? Like sometimes I just laugh, like, you know, oh Lord, like look at what you're trying to, concoct here in this plan of madness. It's time to take that moment to reground. Because when we get outside of ourselves, everything seems so big. It's like when emotions are high, intelligence is low and common sense goes out the window, right? Yeah. So that breath is just, and it's accessible any time of day, always. We can do it right now. I get excited, so I'm going to breathe right now.
Just bring yourself back down. I was laughing about the whole, when we need time to ourselves or doing something, we just have to trust that everything else is working. And I have found myself, because again, A-type personality, and I've shared this on the podcast, because of my birthing experience, and the PTSD that I now have, I am trying to regain control. And so control is, a massive lesson for me and relinquishing it in different areas. And now as I'm transitioning back into working, I have a full-time nanny and, my husband is in and out throughout the day. And I remember yesterday I went to the dentist and I got freezing. So my face was hurting, and I asked him if he could make the leek and fennel soup that I had planned for dinner. And I'm like, the recipe is on our tablet. Like I set everything up, a meal plan, and do online grocery shopping. He picks it up, and then he's been cooking dinners for us. So I'm like, it's on the tablet. It's the leek and fennel soup. And I come upstairs, and he's heating up soup from a can. It's just like, babe, I asked for the soup. He's like, yeah, the fancy soup. I didn't feel like making it, so I heated soup up for you. And I was like, breath. Okay. Because like, I'm so genuinely blessed that I have someone heating soup up for me. I will just make my fennel and leek soup another day. Like it's just, it's just really good to make. And the same thing with the nanny. I bought fresh raspberries at the beginning of the week, and my son is a fruit monster. He is in his fruit phase. And, so she was giving them raspberries for lunch, after their meal. And, Monday and Tuesday, it's just one of the square packages. And then I went to grab raspberries, which was Wednesday, and it was gone. So in the span of 2 days, a whole container of raspberries, for just two lunches. So two lunches, half the container each. And I was just like, is that a lot of raspberries? Is that not like, and like, I'm like going down this thing is like, is she giving them proper, like, meal portions? Like, I haven't really shown her the portions that I want her to. I'm like, nope, just trust the process. Like, she took care of triplets as her last family. Like, she knows what she's doing. Like, and it's just, yeah, it's relinquishing that control when I notice that I'm doing it. So, thankfully it's becoming a much easier practice of recognizing where I'm trying to control things. And then again, yeah, taking that breath or journaling, writing down my thoughts so that I can watch, how they're happening.
Mm-hmm. The recognition, that awareness is so key. Once you see it, like, then you can do something with it.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay, good. That, thanks for that. Thanks for that, mind. I don't need you right now. You're good. Go back to minding or whatever you need to do.
Yeah. I need you. See it, honor it.
Yeah.
Release it.
I need you for my work. I need you for my work right now, but I don't need you for motherhood.
Yeah, the raspberry situation is real. It's funny. I come back to raspberries a lot, actually, as well. And that, in terms of how do I nurture myself, raspberries was a big deal for me as well. Because I definitely, when I started out motherhood, was like, just, you know, financially, we were just in a different place with our family. And I would get everything my husband needed, because I'd make his lunches, send him off to work and whatnot. And, you know, everything that my daughter needed when she started eating solid foods, I'm like, I wanted to stay in the budget. So I wouldn't get anything I wanted. And then there would be days that I just wouldn't eat. And then now, so like the first thing I did for myself in that vein was buy myself the raspberries, and I ate them all. Now my daughter also is a raspberry monster.
you and Ryland would get along really well. He like,
crush raspberries together.
I can tell when he's like done his food. He like really doesn't like meat right now. He's loving some vegetables. And then when he's done, he just starts throwing everything. And then he looks at me and starts like slamming the tray. And he's just like, ah, ah, ah. I'm like, are you ready? You're ready for fruit, aren't you? And he's like, yeah. Like, it's just like, okay, bud.
Yeah. I smashed my tray for raspberries too.
Yeah. It's good. My dad taught him the whole smash his hands on the table, when he's hungry. I'm like, thanks, dad. Really?
Perfect. Yeah.
Really? This is what papas are for.
I love it.
Do you have a movement routine?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kind of numb. Yes, I do. It has totally shifted. I do Pilates once a week. So I do actually online with a friend of mine who owns a studio in Vancouver. Her and I danced together, ballet years ago, and we've kind of come back into our realm as well. So that's something I picked up about 3 months ago for like the consistency. And then, number one is, I get my dance on. My background is so much dance, and, it's the first thing out of every day. Once my daughter wakes up, and once she's done her whole breastfeeding sesh. We usually, she's surprised.
She just helped herself.
She just climbs in here. She's up now. She's awake. We're also wearing clothes. She usually sleeps naked. I think that she sees me doing that. She's like, I want to be naked too. So first thing in the morning, these days it's Katy Perry, and it's like nude dancing and singing. First thing in the morning, that's like my absolute like non-negotiable movement. And then, doing that, do the Pilates kind of that once a week. But again, the movement is really integrated for me as well. Like when I take my daughter to the park, like I'm on the slides, I'm doing cartwheels, I'm running, I'm playing. We're at the beach beautifully now, but the weather's gorgeous. Swimming, I'm running. I'm the mom who digs the holes at the beach, and like all the kids be running for my holes. They're like, oh my God, did you build that? I'm like, yes. So really I've taken a deep dive into the playfulness of, being able to, instead of just witnessing this beautiful play and curiosity of children, like I'm reliving it. Like, isn't this part of the beautiful things that we get to do, like as mothers, is like join in the fun. A lot of my movement is very playful, which was a huge shift for me, because one of my previous lives in this life was classical ballet. So my movement routine obviously was very different when that was my profession.
I was ballerina too. So we have that in common.
Mm-hmm.
The
dancers always find their ways together.
I was on a podcast once. So this is when I was a hardcore obstacle course racer, and I was on a podcast, and one of the questions was, were you an athlete as a child? I was like, no, I was a ballet dancer. And she was like, you were an athlete as a child.
One of the top athletes.
I was like, oh, I guess so. Like, I just had never called myself that until I had become an obstacle course racer. So that was interesting. I love that you knew dance. That's a great movement routine. I think more people should have new dance in their daily lives.
Just get your groove on.
As you're talking, because I'm now working full time, I have 3 hours with my baby during the week. So they get up at 7 and the nanny comes at 8, and then the nanny leaves at 5 and we have them up until 7 p.m. So like those 3 hours, phones are away and it's just like pure play and dinner.
Dinner's playful too.
My husband and I are like in the baby jail, just like throwing the kids around. they're running around in the living room and we're chasing them. And it's just like, I feel like we're finding this like playful groove where we're now in a thriving phase of life instead of just surviving. So it's so fun. Yeah. What's a piece of advice you would give a new mom just about to give birth?
That is a good one. It's a good question. What I would say to a new mom about to give birth would probably be to close your eyes and be with yourself.
Yeah.
Simple.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, they're like, what? That's like, that may not sound like much, like in the process, when you're doing it, like close it. Maybe you don't have to close your eyes the whole time, but close your eyes, breathe.
Yeah.
And just notice what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And be there.
Yeah. I love that.
It's so simple. It's so perfect. I could go on about my birthing experience like forever. I'm not currently blogging, but I was blogging at the time and I did blog about it. So if anybody's interested, you could read that there.
Put it in the show. There's
just let yourself be in it. I don't think there's any more potent place of magic in the world than in that moment. There's absolutely a lot of fear around it. And I think at the time that I gave birth, I was surrounded by women who were all giving birth after me. So I shared my birth story a lot, because as you said too, like I'm seeing everybody here with one kid and they're blissful, and I'm seeing all these twins and it's like madness. What we see, there's so much more available beyond what you see. So if as a new mom about to give birth, you're feeling fear at all, talk to me for 15 minutes. The availability of what you can just feel now, is that really, it sets the tone for your journey in motherhood and who you choose to be in these moments And if you're not listening to yourself with who you want to be, then you're not going to feel the way you want to feel.
It's so true. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast where as I was preparing to give birth, I was talking a lot about like the meditations that I was choosing. I was doing a hypnotherapy course on Grace Smith's app. And so I was sharing all of this information, and then person after person would share with me their traumatic birth experience on Instagram DM. And I got so angry at one point. I was like, how dare you? I'm going to send you my psychotherapist contact information because you need to process this, but you don't need to process it with a woman just about to give birth. And I shared my birth story, and I had quite a few complications post-birth, and I shared that story on my blog. And I remember there was a woman that I had just met. So we were living on Vancouver Island, and there was a woman I had just met in the city, and she was to give birth. I think it was 3 or 4 months after me. And she's like, I want to go read your blog post. I'm like, don't. I'm like, please don't. Do it after you give birth. She's like, well, why not? I was like, it's not a story you want to read as you prepare for your birth process. And I think everybody has different reasons. Like I was reading different birth stories because I wanted to understand like the different types of birth experiences that might be. And I also wanted to be prepared because I was a high risk birth. In case something went wrong, how can I make decisions best for me in the moment? Because I had some more knowledge. But the amount of traumatic stories that were told to me without me asking was definitely very traumatic. So it's one of those ones where like you want to hear stories, but you should be in your own mindset. And so when you say like be with yourself, that really resonates with me because the strength and resilience that a woman has is indescribable and undeniable. You can take different pieces from different stories, but until you sit with yourself, you're not going to be able to really know your power. So I love that piece of advice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's so much, and then just kind of listening to you a couple of times throughout this, so I just want to like make sure I squeeze it in of that people sharing their opinions, like the thing that like bugged me the most, just like, oh, just you wait. Just you wait till labor. Just you wait till she's one. Just you wait till she's two. Just like, what? And then insert all the dramatic stories of like the tensions and this, blah, 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 blah. Like it's like, who, like, how dare you? WG said that. How dare you?
Yeah.
Who are you to think that you know, like my child, A, better than me, and C, like, who are you to judge her or he or whomever, who are you to judge my child and me on our experience, to project your own, like, how do you know? How arrogant are you that you think that you have this divine wisdom that you know how all of this is going to play out? So I shut a lot of that stuff down too. And that's just, it's so common. And people say like, oh, just wait till she's two, then you'll know. Like she's three. People are like, how are the terrible twos? Didn't exist. Yeah. Not a thing. And I'm not saying that that's everybody's experience, right? But I think there's a lot of, if you expect this to happen, like we get what we wish for, right?
Yeah.
So there's so many people out there like projecting this doom onto women, from birth story to toddlerhood to all of a sudden it's not even that they're two. It's like, what happens when they're 16? Like, whoa, pull back the reins here. They're still in my belly.
Yeah. The whole like being present. My husband and I started hiking with them as soon as I was cleared to walk, because I was on bed rest postpartum. Mm-hmm. And I remember we came across a mom with 4-year-old twins, and she's like, it gets better at 4. And we were like, we have to wait till 4?
No, you don't.
We're like, it's better right now. Like we're hiking in a beautiful, beautiful place. They're both sleeping on our chest. So like, it's better right now.
It's how you choose to see it, right? And again, there's the good intention underneath that, but the good intention isn't to help you. The good intention is to make them feel better. Like somehow they're helping you.
Yeah.
It's like it's this. A bit of a twisted.
This is such a great conversation, and now I'm just I'm loving her babble.
No, she's usually pretty good. And so I was like, oh, is she gonna sleep for the whole thing, or is she just gonna whip here? And then I did forget to mention at the beginning, like, what the simic. Again, this is what I do. I trust.
Yeah.
Yes, my love.
And she has spectacular bedhead.
The best. I know. But nobody else will be able to see that. But
yeah, you can just picture a mess of blonde curls, podcast listeners. All right.
Or just check out my Instagram. I'll be sure to post a bedhead pic.
It's been a joy chatting with you. So let's wrap up with my favorite question of the day. And that is, what is your definition of happiness?
Yeah, and I have to laugh about this because when I read this question initially, when you sent it over, I was like, what? Oh my God. And I kind of went down a bit of a spot. I was like, we have to define happiness? What is this? Really, it's this you're experiencing the energy of my happiness here. It's being happiness for me is living in the moment, following where my intuition pulls me, where I'm guided to go, and then just fully sitting rooted in the moment and allowing myself to like eat and digest and soak in and revel and indulge in what's here in this moment.
Love it. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is my first podcast appearance. Very excited. I've been nerding out about it ever since we connected. So,
have you downloaded the Work Life Harmony worksheet yet? In this free guide, I walk you through how to optimize 5 key areas of your life so that you can start designing your own work life harmony. So, from nutrition to supplements, sleep, stress management, and reducing your toxic load, I share tips and tricks that get you thinking on how you can optimize your life currently. So I ask you simple questions that just get you to rethink different aspects of your life. I walk you through a prioritization exercise so you can figure out which area of your life you actually want to maybe overhaul or tackle or just make small changes in first. So you can download that over at bit.ly/worklifeharmonyworksheet, all one word, bit.ly/worklifeharmonyworksheet. Thank you for listening to the Alpha Female Podcast. Be sure and visit robinbaldwin.com, that's Robin with a Y, BALDWIN, for access to show notes and other amazing blogs. If you loved this episode of the Alpha Female Podcast, be sure to head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review so more amazing alpha females are able to find this content. It's so very much appreciated that you take this small effort to help this show succeed.